order. And John, if you'll call the roll.
Representatives Carlson.
Here.
Belter. Mock. Onstead.
Here.
Vigasaw.
Here.
Senators Werdner. Erbely.
Here.
Heckman.
Here.
Holmberg. Klein.
Here.
Schneider.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Did you get me?
Yep, I got you.
All right, we're going to, first thing we're going to do is review the supplemental rules of operation and procedures of the committee. And Mr. Bjornson will take care of that.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, there's a, I guess they call it buff-colored sheet in front of you. I know you've all been through this many times, so I'll be real brief with that, since you all know the rules quite well. I guess I'd like to point out one addition on the second page, 6E. The legislative council shall develop and maintain a policy relating to privacy and disclosure of records of a legislative council. The policy must be consistent with sections 4404.18.6, 4404.18.26. Now, 18.26 is the section that prompted this. That was the ability, or the section that was adopted in the OMB bill at the end of the session that provides that the our office, if you as an individual legislator submits an open records request for us to request something from an agency, we have to keep a record of that, and that record will be a public record. So we're just starting to go forward with this process. I don't know that I've handled any of those to this point, but what we'll do is if a records request is submitted through us, they're no longer confidential as they were in the past, and we'll keep a list or a register of that. As far as the other rules of procedure, you all know that, you know, there are no subcommittees. The all statements of policy go through the legislative management chairman, and you know, all pretty basic rules that you're familiar with. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to address those, or we'll just move on.
Well, I think most people are familiar with the change we made about the open records request. There's a lot of dust kicked up about that. If you ask for one, it costs a lot of money to do it, should you know who did it or not. So this is, I think this answers how the procedure would be.
Mr. Chairman, it does. We're still sorting through exactly how we will. There's a little difficulty in making distinctions between what an open records request is and what a maybe request for general information is. So we have a little bit of work to do to kind of make some sort of distinction to keep things straight. Because if you call and ask me for you know, some basic information, it's not, you know, asking for a bunch of emails or something from somebody. We believe that's something that you're doing in the course of your gathering information, and not for necessarily an open records request that should be available for everybody else to see. But something we'll have to work our way through slowly.
So you're going to bring this recommendations to another meeting that we have?
Well,
or are you just going to develop the policy?
Mr. Chairman, I think we'll kind of work on the, you know, developing our policy, and we'll probably, you know, run it by, you know, you or like I said, management again at some point as we feel our way through it.
Any comments, questions on that? Anything else on that memo, Mr.
Gertz? Mr. Chairman, not on that memo. I'd like to just pass around the room a list that review or shows the responsibilities of this committee. And I just printed this off from our webpage, so it's out there if you want to look closely and look at the citations that are on there as well. But, you know, as you know, that your main responsibilities probably are, you know, reviewing legislative rules before the next session, making appropriate session arrangements before next session. Many of these things we'll get into at later meetings. Some of the things that we'll discuss today, the review of legislative wing renovation and projects within, you know, under the legislative authority. One of the things you'll probably want to consider down the road, it's about a third of the way down, establish a policy, which it's in place right now in the code, but under which a legislator may purchase a computer used by that legislator upon replacement of the computers, because you may want to reexamine that as you go forward with the computer replacement project. Two new items on this list at the very bottom, receive periodic reports from the state court administrator regarding the status of the facility space authorized, expansion authorized under Senate Bill, House Bill 1002 and Senate Bill 2015. That's the new space that was in the ITD area. And then the last item, upon request, receive reports from the friends of the residents regarding the fundraising plans of the task force and the progress of fundraising efforts for the new governor's residence.
Friends of the residents.
Mr. Chairman, that's all I have under that first item on the agenda. If there's any questions, again, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
Any questions, committee members? If not, we don't need any kind of a motion to accept that, just the report.
Correct.
The next item of business would be Mr. Steckler's going to talk about the renovation projects involving legislative committee rooms and other areas under the authority of the legislative branch. Mr. Steckler.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jason Steckler, Administrative Services Director for Legislative Council. Just a few updates this morning. I know the schedule's got me up here for 30 minutes. I don't think it's going to take that long, but I'll run through a couple of these, and at the end of each one, we'll stop and see if there's any questions. During the 2015 session, we identified approximately 80 electrical receptacles in the legislative wing that didn't actually meet code. Basically, what we found out is when the electricians installed those circuits in the legislative wing, and then when the wall people came in, whether it be the wood or whether it be the plaster, where you actually saw the receptacle on the wall wasn't exactly where the box was. So what they did is they installed jumpers, which we all know then bare electrical in a enclosed wall does not meet code, and it's kind of a health and safety issue. So what we did is we worked with facilities, Mr. Jim Langang, and we came up with a solution to get 6x6 electrical boxes, much bigger. We were able to have them custom painted to match the woodwork and the walls that they're in. And in just about every case, with the exception of a few, we're able to save those and actually have them meet code with a larger panel that opens up. Now, a lot of these electrical circuits never get used. They're in the back of the chambers. Obviously, when facilities management cleans, they use them. And then some of them in the great hall get used when we have fairs and tables and that type of thing out there. So those boxes, the total cost for the electrical work, the pulling of the new circuit or the new wire and putting the new receptacles in was $90,000, and assembly funds were used. We did meet with leadership during session so we could remedy that. Also at that meeting, we had facilities management identify a list which was then prioritized of things that will continue to be taken care of during this interim period. Some of those included replacing many of the ceilings in the legislative wing and meeting spaces. They don't have drop-in ceiling. A lot of them you've seen have those old slide-in grids. So every time you actually need to do work up there, inherently these old grids break, and therefore you start seeing pieces that are missing. So those will be taken care of as we work in various rooms. Next one is install new subfeed panels in the penthouses for both the House and Senate. Actually, how that should be set up, as we know, because we've had electrical issues before, is we should have separate feeds and panels, one for the House, one for the Senate, rather than be fed off the Capitol Tower. So that's another initiative. Also, there's some repiping and rewiring. Obviously, with the amount of time that this building has stood and a lot of the electrical conduits that there, electricians have continued to pull and pull and pull inside of the same pipe, and there's not enough room anymore. So as we work in certain areas, we'll take care of those. It's not going to be a project where we go from one side of the building to the other side of the building. It's something that we just will continue to do as we work in various areas. And then obviously, if there's low voltage cable, some of the old mainframe cable that's in the wall when we work in a particular area, that will be demoed as we go through it. As you remember, in Senate Bill 2015, there was $310,000 that was put in for all of the previously mentioned projects. I would recommend that facilities management update this committee at your next meeting, so we always keep this ball rolling and we don't lose sight on what we wanted to do during this interim period. Make sure we take care of those health and safety issues.
Any
Mr. Chairman, that was my first item. Is there any questions regarding that?
So the electrical work, the phase one to fix those plugs is complete?
Yes, sir. I would recommend, though, that the remaining phase, those other priorities, there was four more priorities, like I mentioned, that we have facilities management come back in at your next meeting and update us on where we're at with those as well.
If we have time, we will get a little update from facilities management on that. I see he's in the room, so. Any other comments on the electrical part? I think, isn't this where Senator Schneider tried to burn down his office? Is that the one?
Well, Mr. Chairman, obviously that was probably something that brought it more to the forefront. We have a pretty good working relationship with facilities management, and I think it was just time that we had that meeting and say, okay, what haven't we looked at in the legislative wing for many years, and what can we take care of to just to make sure that we protect our space?
Okay. Any questions? If not, you can continue.
All right. Mr. Chairman, the next item is the J-Wing renovation. This is that joint use space that Mr. Bjornson mentioned earlier between the judicial branch and the legislative branch. Proposals by the architects were received, and J2 Architects was actually selected for the project. They were kind enough to have myself included on the architect committee, selection committee. Currently, designs are being finalized, and we expect documents to be ready for bid by the second week in December. And then bid opening for those bids the week of January 11th. As of right now, what we're doing is just waiting for a finalized diagram from the architect so we can send it out to bid and have a valid document. Some of the discussion that's going on right now is where exactly will the egresses or exits be to maximize the space. When you have big rooms, like you're kind of aware of the diagram there, you have to make sure that you have opposing exits in the space and that type of deal. So the next one is they did bring up some fire suppression, and then whether they're going to continue with the egress on the east side, which it sounds like they will, which will exit to the east.
You got to remind me, at least, and maybe some other committee members, exactly where the room is and what we're going to use it for when we're done.
Sure. The room is actually located where ITD was, basically right over here on the northeast side of the campus. There is a very large open space. The idea, working with Representative Thorson, was that it would actually have a closable corridor like you would see in a conference center between the two to make two large meeting rooms. And then there is another smaller meeting room over there. The reason why we wanted to have a collapsible wall in between is when the courts use it, they wanted a larger open space for some of their training, so it kind of meets the needs of both. I don't have exactly final square footage of each room and occupant load, but it's pretty easy to think that you're going to get about 70 to 75 people in each one of these rooms, so they're fairly large rooms. Of the two larger rooms, obviously the smaller one would probably be closer to 40 or 50.
During session time, it would be ours?
Correct.
And our anticipated use would be, I don't know that we've discussed what our anticipated use would be during the session.
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think that's one of the items this committee will want to weigh in prior to the session. Would be the potential use and which committees may use that space, but I think you're going to want to see the space, you know, prior to making that decision. But I think by the time you conclude your work November 2016, you should weigh in on the potential use of that space by standing committees.
But that would bring up another question, because in all of our other committee rooms we have had new desks and sound systems installed. What's the intention for the room?
Mr. Chairman,
the open room doesn't do it as much good as a room that's fitted up.
Yep, Mr. Chairman, we do have money included, $160,000, which would put three projectors in each one of the larger rooms. Sound systems, now, since it is a joint-use room, we probably wouldn't have a lot of it permanently installed because the courts would also use the space. So what we did is we did work with our AV guy, and they're developing a system with an umbilical cord that would go to a wall where all the plugins would be. Therefore, we could set our sound systems up, take it down when session was done, and return it back to the judicial branch.
Because one thought obviously would be that we've always had our education and natural resources committee way down at the end, and this is much closer. And obviously, 75 people would be larger, as large as they have in that room today. So I don't know what our intentions are, but I would assume that we would want to make some recommendations before we're done as to the use of that room.
I agree, sir. And the last thing was, I suggest that eventually a decision be made on what committees would occupy, because obviously that'll have a triple-down effect of the rooms they vacate, and that way we can have it all ready to go for session.
Representative Thorson, you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Blair Thorson, Representative of District 44, Chairman of the Government Operations Division of the House Appropriations Committee. When we discussed this in our committee, there was some discussion about the committees that meet in the horseshoe, you know, that those rooms once in a while get pretty full and it's hard to find seating. And so I know nothing was, of course, decided, but a lot of the discussion was maybe using some of those new spaces, maybe not even if on a permanent basis, but for times like when we're rushing over to use the Brynhild Hovland room or some of the other areas, maybe to use it there. Representative Vigasaw was on the committee. Maybe you have some comments. But I think meeting with the courts, you know, they wanted the space to do training. They said they've run into a problem here in the city, and we thought this was a good option, that we could get some use out of it during the sessions also.
So I'm assuming our intention is that it's ours during the session.
That was the agreement with the courts.
It's not a bad deal for them. 80 days we get it, and the rest of the other 20 months is theirs. Not a bad deal.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, the original request from the courts was to have the space the entire time, and so we said we thought perhaps we could get some use out of it while we were in town. Thank you.
Representative Vigasaw, any questions, any comments about your meeting?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, if natural resources and education basically take that space, what happens to the that space that they're vacating? Is that still going to be access to legislation? Is a standing committee going to move into that space? Is that what the anticipation is?
Well, depending on who actually would occupy the space, obviously this committee would want to take a look at that trickle-down effect of which space they were vacating and whether it was going to be used again. I don't think there was any discussion that we were going to give up space, not that I'm aware of, sir.
There would be, but you said there were two 75-person rooms. Okay. Not one, there's two when it's done, divided by a movable wall.
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, in response to Representative Onstad's question, there's a statutory provision that relates to use of legislative rooms, and that was amended as well last session, and it provides that during the interim, the Pioneer Room and the three additional meeting rooms that are going to be built may not be used without authorization of the Legislative Council. So we'll actually in the interim have the ability to use those rooms as well.
That's good. Very good. Continue.
Mr. Chairman, the next item concerns legislative wing and fire inspections. On August 23rd, Mr. Jim Smith and I met with Mr. Ronald Kundra, the fire marshal for the Bismarck Fire Department. The intent of the inspection was to ensure adequate level of safety is provided to occupants. Now, obviously, this is the first time since I've been here in 2008 that we were actually participated in the fire inspection that goes on yearly in the legislative wing. It was a good thing because a lot of things were brought to our attention that we can remedy as we go through our various work. Some of them are very simple, placement of fire extinguishers, easily taken care of by us working with facilities management. Exit sign placement changes, easily rectified, especially if we do any work in particular areas. Now, one of the interesting things is some of our areas, the historic value, the wood, that type of deal, we don't really want to bring in hard electrical lines for exit signs and that type of deal. So the fire marshal did approve us to use photoluminescent signage, which basically requires no electrical, and we're going to take a look at that, especially when we start talking chamber areas and that type of deal. But the exit signs do need to be visible from both sides, and those are easily fixed by just knowing what we need to do. Posting of occupant load for rooms and spaces, obviously in this building we don't really have that. As we do work, I think we should probably just procure those and put those up. Door handles and latches that meet international building code, i.e. those that don't require tight grasping, twisting. We're talking more of the handles that you see whenever we do remodels that go on office doors. So just things that were brought to our attention that we'll continue to deal with as we work in any one of these areas, and I think they're easily identified. Any questions with that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee?
I'm trying to figure out who our guy is here, whether he has, he is one of the fire marshals that went through this with you?
No, he might be here spying on me, but I think he's on later on the agenda, sir.
We'll let him spy and then speak.
Maybe he can go back and speak well that we're at least bringing it on our agenda, huh?
He's got a uniform and you know it today, so.
That's correct.
All right, continue.
All right, and the last item, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it was identified during session that when we talk about legislative wing renovations, one item that came up was the multimedia room, or we know it as the press room over there. Obviously, most of you have seen it. It's fairly dated. We're just basically looking for some ideas for what we can actually do with that space and maybe any input that this committee may have. If you're not familiar with it, there is an unused storage area that the press used to store cameras and recording equipment to the south of that room. Maybe that should be demoed. The lights in there are probably horrible. If you've ever went in there and turned the lights on, it probably raises it the temperature considerably just in a few minutes. The data connections that are in there are the old analog lines that the press used to hook their phone to so they could do live reporting back to a radio station. We've just kind of put a few band-aids on it. As you have interviews or radio stations come in to do various things, we've added a few data circuits and that type of deal, but nothing's really been done for many years. And obviously, you've probably been in more press studio scenarios than I have, and we're just looking for any suggestions and marching orders, and we can maybe go out and try to find some people, give us some good ideas for the room as well.
Thoughts, comments?
Well, Mr. Chairman, committee, I think we should update it. I don't have any preconceived ideas on what should be done over there, but we're doing all the electrical. I think now is the time to start work on that. I don't know what it's going to cost, but kind of get a cost estimate and some ideas, and if we can revamp it and utilize some of that other area that was just used for storage and make it a little bit bigger, I think that would be a good thing.
Senator Snyder?
Mr. Chairman, maybe we can reach out to the press corps here. Maybe he can turn it over here soon. I think maybe we can reach out to the chairs and the person who's trying to figure it out now. Yeah, they can go into a press room and leave it probably some of the money.
Well, especially the electrical and the technology side. I mean, that's got to be up to date. It's a whole different world than it used to be down there. And that room does get used more than you think, so. I know a lot of live radio broadcasts happen from there, and I don't know if we patchwork that together so it'll work for them or not. I mean, my guess is you're probably just, deal with it as it comes and run something in there to make sure it works for them. But that probably should be done. But again, you need somebody who understands or an expert in that area, because we wouldn't know exactly what they need in there.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and we've done a lot of work even in the chambers. It's amazing that you would think that the press would all use similar type of audio feeds, video feeds, but no, they're all quite different. So Kyle and the IT staff came up and worked with Tricorn, our audio-visual contractor, and we were able to install panels that met their need that gave them both line feed and other feeds and that type of deal. And that's obviously what we should do to this room as well. So, I mean, I think the audiovisual portion of it and working with Mr. McPherson is a great idea. Obviously, it's a joint type use room. Press conferences are held there, as well as we do have various members of the radio industry come in there and do interviews of members of the assembly. And I think the room could be set up a little better for that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jason, make sure I'm clear. Are we referring to the studio where, as you mentioned, where press conferences are held? Or are we talking about the offices for the press?
Where the conferences are held, Mr. Chairman, and
okay.
I had to say, I was trying to sort out which one, and then I figured
right.
out.
Right. Because there was a lot of language that could be used for either. It is used, and I have seen a lot of creative use in both spaces. So, no, on that note, is there any plans in updating the offices where the media room, the press room, in the horseshoe?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mock, I'll defer to Mr. Smith because I remember a conversation during during session that it was brought up, but I wasn't a party to that conversation.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, regarding that press office area, over the years we have changed the carpet and provided, I don't know if it was newer furniture, I think it was furniture that previously we had used in the legislative branch. For a while they were resistant to any change. That was Dale Wetzel, but we haven't heard any requests or anything like that. It's kind of a delicate thing to go through, I guess, trying to figure out the use of it. It was originally set up for a lot more people than are in there currently, but...
I'm kind of thinking we could take the power out and give them candles, but I don't know if that's probably going to sell them well.
Mr. Chairman, calling the area that you do your conferences the press room, I believe Mr. Bjornson came up with a new term, and it's legislative media room. Probably a little more fitting. When we call it press room, apparently there was some confusion on whether the press people really controlled the room versus you controlling that room. So we will probably start referring to it by its new name, and hence the confusion.
Mr. Smith, will you remind me what we put in our budget this time for remodeling? I know we don't itemize each project, but we have a number and some carryover. Would you remind me where we're at with that?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this time $400,000 was provided for all of these kinds of improvements that we're talking about. And as Mr. Steckler had indicated, there's $160,000 in addition that was provided for the space in the judicial building. There is carryover. We've had previously there was $500,000 provided each biennium, going back to the 07-09 biennium. So there is some significant carryover available in addition to the $400,000. We're going to talk a little bit, I think Kyle's going to talk about some of the committee room improvements. Another item that we identified during the session, I don't know if Jason, if you wanted to talk at all about, we had priced out or had a rough estimate of what it might take to replace the data receptacles that are at each of the desks in the House and Senate chambers. That potentially is a use of that $400,000 as well. And I think we'd want this committee to kind of weigh in on whether you think that's a good idea to get estimates on that and go forward with that. And Jason can speak to some of the issues with the current connection boxes that are at each of the desks. But that roughly is the money that we have. And as this committee approves, all of the projects that get funded that are funded from that, and as we go through the interim. We try to do as much as we can during the interim. I don't know, Jason, if you have any comments about the receptacles?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, what Mr. Smith is referring to is at your chamber desk, the pop-up receptacles. Obviously, having data on anything that moves is probably not a very good idea. I think everybody's probably experienced an issue with their data jack.
You're assuming something like this?
Yes, sir. Something that's basically a flip-top cover that'd be stationary on the desk rather than something that moves. It was identified, and when we went through the priority list with the leaders during session, we put a cost estimate of $170,000 on it just because of the amount of desks and work that actually is done. It was prioritized, but it was the last priority that we said we may actually use carryover funds for. Or legislative wing improvement funds, excuse me.
Just remind me, we had there, at some point in time there was a discussion about the Brynhild room, doing something there. Whatever happened to that, I don't remember.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, since I've been here, it's come up numerous times. I think there's been a lot of conversation about the stage, which does not really get used. A little bit about the storage rooms that are on both sides of the stage. When you have space like that, what it does, it turns into a dumping ground for somebody's unused equipment. Obviously, it is a joint use space. Some people, I think, would like to have a hard table set up that isn't constantly moved, but as we know, we have some chairman that like to face the stage, other chairman that like to face away from where the stage is currently located. I do think it's a space that could be looked at and things could be done to it, definitely on a long-term scale at least.
Well, I've been here a few years now and I don't remember much of anything ever being done other than we changed some chairs in the room. And that needs to be on our list at some point in time to address that room, I think, to make it more functional.
I agree, Mr. Chairman.
We've had that same discussion about the lockers, how few of the lockers are actually used down there by members of the assembly, and whether or not that should have had another use, those locker rooms. I mean, obviously, they got the raised pedestals, and there's some challenges there to work with that, but those are the kind of rooms that I think are, like when we made the major changes to the clerk's room and put those rooms behind it and did those things, that was a major improvement. I think we need to look at the other side of the aisle, which happens to be the Brynhild room and the cloak room and those kind of things, needs to be in a part of the process here for upgrades.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and obviously we have many tables in the legislative wing that we use for various things, and as we go through it, we should probably look at a place where we could actually store those tables so they're not sitting out in the open and being an eyesore in the legislative wing. So I think that's all-encompassing, whether we're talking the cloakroom, the Brynhild Hoglund, the stage, the locker area, definitely a lot of things that could be considered there.
Well, you know, just example, today all those chairs are sitting at the end of the legislative wing on rollers. And you wonder, is that the way you want that legislative wing, the Great Hall, to look or not look? So there's some things we have to keep our eye on and move forward with those.
Mr. Chairman, that's a great suggestion, and one I wasn't going to bring up today, but obviously on the way to the Senate conference room, we have those old telephone booths that are on your left-hand side, right by the joint supply room.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Those again turn into a dumping ground because they're unused space. That's something else that we could actually look at, whether it be for the chairs that are at the end of the legislative hall or the jury lift that seems to always be parked down at the end as well, the blue lift that they use for changing out lights. So obviously a couple of spaces that could be looked at.
Maybe in addition to the Friends of the Residents, we could have the Friends of the Legislature.
I think they're called the Legislative Council, sir.
You missed my point.
I wasn't going to go there, sir.
Smart man. Anything else, Mr. Steckler?
No, sir, with that, that's all I have.
Any questions for Mr. Steckler? Thank you. Mr. Forrester.
Mr. Chairman, member of the committee, I'm Kyle Forrester. I'm the IT manager for Legislative Council. I got a couple items on the agenda today. During the session, there was a request to put an in-room sound system in the Lewis and Clark room. And the quote for that came in at $10,995. And we already had done the Missouri River room and the Prairie Room for in-room sound systems, and the Harvest and Rough Rider were done quite a while back. So we're looking for permission to go ahead and do that install in that Lewis and Clark room.
Questions, comments, Mr. Smith, is that part of the $400,000 that we had set aside? That's where the funds have come from?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And then I think Kyle's also going to approach, that's something we would like your consideration for all of the committee rooms. Basically, what we're talking about is in ceiling speakers, it spreads the sound out better, and it gets away from some of the situations we have on the desk. But I think Kyle's going to get into that as well. I think there's 8 or 9 other rooms that haven't been done. We've done the Missouri River room, help me out, Prairie
room, and then Harvest and Rough Rider.
Harvest and Rough Rider, yep.
So we need a motion for approval. Is that Mr. Bjornson? Is that the way you'd like that?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
The motion would be that we approve the
$95
for the sound system in the Lewis and Clark room. Would that be the correct motion?
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
So I need somebody to make that motion.
So moved.
Second. We have a motion and a second. And any comments, questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative.
I know the rooms are a little different size, but is that cost comparable to the previous rooms?
Correct.
That have been done?
Correct. The Missouri room, or River room, was a little over $10,000, and the Prairie room was a little bit more than that because of the size of the room and where they had to locate speakers, not in the ceiling, but next to that light fixture, that wooden square fixture, rectangular fixture. So that one, that room, I think, was around $17,000 or $18,000. But the rest of the committee rooms would be similar to Missouri River and Lewis and Clark.
Same vendor for all these?
Correct.
Is that Bob?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kyle, does that include any of the AV? I mean, is it just speakers, or is there, you know, projection or cabling or electrical for any expansion for projectors or cameras?
All the committee rooms are already equipped with projectors or monitors on the wall. That project was taken care of last interim.
Okay.
So those rooms are all covered.
And the video cameras or anything else, is there infrastructure that's in case you know, we were to go forward and want to install cameras in the committee rooms?
That would, Mr. Chairman, Representative Mock, that would have to be future outlays of money for wing improvements. That would not be part of this project.
That in itself would be an interesting topic, Brian.
Yeah. Okay, so then, okay, so we have to go ahead for...
We need to take a vote for you.
Okay.
We're going to take a vote.
All right. Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
Vigasoff?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Aye.
Erberle?
Aye.
Heckelman?
Yes.
Klein?
Aye.
Schneider?
Aye.
All right. Motion carried.
Okay. And, okay, so then we also have permission to go ahead and do the other rooms also, in addition to the Lewis and Clark room, to move forward with wing improvements. Is that part of that motion, or was that...
Well, you need to explain to me, do we have bids on those?
No, we don't.
And how many additional rooms?
There's 2, 4, 6, 8 additional rooms to do.
And that would be, all our committee rooms would be complete then?
Correct.
So if an average of 10,000, you're talking another $80,000?
$80,000 to $90,000.
Senator Heckelman?
Mr. Chairman, I guess my question is, what happens if we flip-flop rooms around and we go over to the judicial wing? Are we fitting a room that we're not using, or?
That, Mr. Chairman, Senator Heckelman, yes, that would be possible. If that, yes, if they vacate the room, the sound system would be there. Whoever does use that room, though, you would have a nice sound system in that room that's permanent in the room, whoever uses it.
Can we get a motion to that effect? I'm assuming, Mr. Smith, that's in within our budgetary numbers?
That's correct.
And that was part of the use that we had planned for the dollars?
I don't know if that specifically was identified. Generally, we had committee room improvements. Generally, we had committee room improvements as part of the use of the $400,000, so it fits in that. It wasn't a specific thing that I don't recall if we identified it specifically.
I know that where we have put it has been a huge improvement to the rooms. As far as operating and running a committee, it's been a tremendous improvement to those. It also helped a lot with the clerks and those people that are working and trying to transpose all the things that are said in those committees. So all the technology is really, I think, is necessary in all those rooms. So I'm supportive of that. Any other discussion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we move forward on that.
Second.
Second. Was it 8 rooms? Senator Heckelman?
I'll second it.
And we have a second. Any other discussion? If not, we'll take the roll.
Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
Vigasoff?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Aye.
Erberle?
Aye.
Heckelman?
Aye.
Klein?
Aye.
And Schneider?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the next item I have is just some more informational thing. We did put new color printers in the page rooms behind each chamber, and we also have color printers that will stay in the Harvest and Rough Rider rooms also. So wherever you're at, you'll have access to a color printer. The next item that I had is the computer replacement work group. Basically, we're coming up to end of life on our laptops, Legislative Assembly laptops and iPads, and that's on a 4-year replacement cycle. There was a budget of $603,050 put into the budget to replace these. So what we're now in need of is identify the computer replacement work group, establishing who the chairman was going to be and the members of the committee, so this winter we can move forward. And the IT team will make, bring some equipment forward to review with the work group, and the work group would then select the equipment for the Legislative Assembly and then bring that recommendation back to the LPA for approval. So basically, the committee would meet this winter, later in the spring, in March, or April timeframe, we would come to you with a recommendation, and then we would be looking at the May, June through November timeframe to implement that new equipment to returning members, and then new members that come in after the next election would just get their equipment after they take their seat. In the past, there's been 6 representatives and 4 senators on the committee for the last 2. Representative Martinson has been the chairman the last 2 times. So I guess what we're looking from this group and leadership is to identify who that chairman is going to be, and then identify who those committee members are going to be this fall, so we can start our planning and scheduling for those type of meetings this winter.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Kyle, when do you need these names? Do you want them today, or?
No, Senator Wardner, no, we don't need them today. If we could get them this fall, that would be great. So we could work with the chairman and start planning when we would meet.
And so it would be 2 leaders that have to come up with the names? Is that the way you're?
I'm not sure how the names were came up with in the past.
Legislative management? I just want to know whose responsibility is.
Senator Warren, Jason is indicating that the leaders selected the members of the committee.
Okay.
Last time.
We'll get a list of who was on there last time. I know it was a mixed group, and quite obviously people like me shouldn't be on there. If somebody at least understands what the equipment is and what all it will do. At that point in time, do we have to upgrade any of our software? Is that part of the package if we do?
Part of the upgrade would be to have an upgrade to the Microsoft Office suite.
Yep.
On the Legislative Assembly equipment, yes. That's part of that budget.
That's part of that $600,000.
Correct.
That usually comes on the machine?
No, that's an add-on cost.
We will we'll get you those names. Well, the leaders will talk about who they want on there. We'll look at last committee's makeup, and then we'll come up with that. And we'll figure out who of our people has an interest that will come out to the meetings and has an understanding of what's going on with the product.
Mr. Chairman, as part of that discussion, and I think it's earlier, you know, there, you have the iPad, and you got the big laptop. Is it just going to be combined into a one piece somewhere in the middle, size-wise, or?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ronstadt, that will be up to that committee. So we will present various equipment and various options, and we'll provide utilization information on how the laptops are currently being used and how the iPads are currently being used, so that information will be available to that work group to decide what's best for the assembly going forward.
Quite obviously, a lot of us heard that the big computer doesn't fit in the bay. Remember that last time? We thought we had really done a great thing and upgraded and had an iPad, and the first complaint was, it's too big, it doesn't fit in the bag. Buy a bigger bag.
It just seems to me if we could get a somewhere in the middle there, it would be a considerable savings rather than having 2 of that and double the IT problems, doubling the software problems and so on.
I can tell you from going to meetings out of state, the iPad's invaluable. I mean, I can tell you that I want to carry that with me because it's invaluable. There where I get all my information that I need and be directly hooked up. So we'll let that committee in, and we'll, you leaders, if you get the old list, we'll take a look and see who your recommendation would be, and Senator Wardner and I will do the same thing, and we'll get that handled.
Mr. Chairman, I do have the names for the last 2 times. I can send that out to you all in an email.
To the leaders, so we
okay.
Can look at there who would have an interest from our caucus.
Okay.
The one last thing before we move on, I think we should to talk about these flip-up things for the desk in the chambers, whether or not we want to proceed with these or not, because we briefly talked about it. We didn't do anything with it. So So, discussions, thoughts? I mean, if you want to talk about something that's hard to use, that pull-up thing, you feel like you're going to rip it right out of the desk when you're trying to get it out of there. And then your cords are hanging half-bent trying to make them work. So, I'd be in favor of it, but I need to know what was the cost number on that again?
Mr. Chairman, $170,000 is what our initial estimate was. That we did that quickly during session when the leaders wanted numbers and so we could kind of prioritize immediate health and safety issues.
Mr. Smith, I'm trying to get my hands around where the money's at here on these things you're doing. We just had $80,000 and $90,000 really for the rooms. And we had $400,000 appropriated and we've done some other things. So I'm trying to figure out where we're at if this is a logical number for us to work with.
Mr. Chairman, you know, the $400,000 would accommodate what you've approved this morning already, plus any cost relating to this, and hopefully, you know, cover any improvements to the legislative media room. Then we do have additional carryover money from previous bienniums. So the money shouldn't be a limiting factor in terms of anything you want to do this interim, unless you do something significant with the Brynhild Hoglund room.
But on the other one was separate. That J-Wing thing was separate funding.
That's correct. Right.
Any thoughts, committee members? Representative Mock, any thought about those?
Mr. Chairman, I think I've seen a couple of those plastic boxes ripped out of the desks, and I don't know how much time facilities have spent fixing some of that equipment this last session. I'd be in favor of it. I think it just makes sense. It's probably a little more permanent. It's a little more user-friendly, and I think it would save a considerable amount of money in terms of maintenance and headaches down the road.
I'm in agreement with that. Any other thoughts? If not, I'll get it like a motion that we go forward with that.
I'll so move.
Representative Mock makes motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Wardner. Any other discussion? Now we'll take a vote.
Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
Bigassaw?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Aye.
Herbley?
Aye.
Heckelman?
Aye.
Klein?
Aye.
Schneider?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I just want to have one last item. As you know, last session we did introduce a mobile app to the Legislative Assembly to run on your iPads, and that was called the North Dakota Legislative Daily app, where you could see your daily schedule. Most of you have probably used that. Right now we're in the process of enhancing that application to include the interim committee schedule and also to provide push notifications, so the device data will update automatically if the device is on and the app is running, and then also have event notifications. So like on the interim meetings, right now we're thinking about doing like a reminder 3 days would pop up before the meeting, remind you that you have an interim meeting to attend, and a day before and the day of. And then the same thing during session, there would be options for you to get reminders for your standing committee meetings, or if you sponsored a bill that was out in committee, you'd get a reminder for that too. Also for the next step of the mobile app is to push it out to the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. So you would be able to download it and put it on your personal devices, and we can make it so it hooks into your legislator information so you can get those same reminders on your own personal device. So those are improvements that we will be making over the next course of the next few months.
Questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Bigassaw.
If we could just go back to the computer replacements for just a second. I know that the this committee is responsible for establishing the policy whereby a legislator may purchase the computer or iPad after it's been replaced. Will the committee that's going to select the equipment also determine what that price would be for a legislator to pay, or bring a recommendation to this committee for approval for that cost?
Representative Carlson and Representative Vigasa, what happened last time was that committee did not decide that. Basically what Legislative Council, we talked to the Surplus Property Division of OMB, because that's where they end up eventually, to see what price they were going to put on it. And then I think we brought that back either to LPA or Legislative Management for approval of what the price was going to be.
Don't they wipe these clean?
Yes.
So there's really nothing left on them that you have to reinstall all the stuff?
Representative Carlson, that is true. That is correct.
I remember that was one of the issues, because they're buying the programs to put back on them and reprogram them was made, if not almost worth the purchase.
They will, yeah. Yes, sir.
They'll have the same issue.
Yeah, it'll be, well, iOS, the iPads will be much different.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if that information could be provided, so I don't recall that the legislators had first crack at the computers last time. I thought it went to surplus first, but we did have first shot. Okay.
They went for $100 last time, and I'm thinking there was less than 10 of them that were purchased. Basically, last time around, the IT staff, we did not recommend purchasing those laptops, because they had a Windows Vista license with them, and that was an operating system that was no longer being supported. And the cost of, you could almost go buy another device for what you were going to spend to upgrade and make it functional.
Great. Well, if all that information is provided at the time, then that'll be great for us. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, that would come back to management then to make that decision?
This committee.
This committee? And then we'd recommend it on to management.
Yeah, ultimately.
Anything else, Mr. Forster?
That's all I have, sir.
Mr. Boyle, as long as you're in the room, we've talked about a lot of things today. You have any comments about what's going on facilities-wise or anything affecting our areas?
Chairman Carlson, actually, Mr. Steckler did an outstanding job of updating you on all the legislative projects. I will say, though, the cleaning of the limestone, the removal of the joint material mortar replacement is going very well. That'll be finished here in a couple weeks, and then in the spring they'll come back and actually do the cleaning portion of it. But one reason I'm here is just in case you have any questions about Senate Bill 2304 and the new governor's residence. So as long as I'm here, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that anyone may have.
Questions? We are the friends of the residents.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you are.
Mr. Chairman?
Is that correct?
Maybe Mr. Boyle could tell us. I know that I'm on the committee, and we've completed site selection, so maybe he wants to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and Senator Heckerman, we do have, there's a group of seven of us that make up the design committee, of which Senator Heckerman and Senator Howard Anderson and Representative Onstad and Representative Casper have joined myself and two others in OMB. And we have, we met on August 28th with the architect, who's actually Chris Holly Architects out of Fargo. He's done a lot of really large executive luxury homes in Fargo, Detroit Lakes. He's been mentioned in the Wall Street Journal for some of his properties. I mean, he's really an outstanding architect. So one of the, as I was saying, on August 28th, we did choose how the home would actually be oriented on the existing site. And the committee thought it'd be nice if the new residents had access both from 4th Street and from the mall, because some of the concern was with it, the way it's oriented now, it seems like it's part of 4th Street, not part of the Capitol complex. And we don't always know what that area is going to look like, but we know the Capitol grounds always be maintained very well. So we did determine how to be oriented. Our next meeting is September 28th, this Monday, where we're going to look at some schemes of what the home will actually resemble. And then on September 29th, Tuesday, we're meeting with the Capitol Grounds Planning Commission for their approval of the orientation and preliminary schemes. And then the big meeting is December 1st, 1 o'clock, Brynhild Haugland Room, where the Capitol Grounds Planning Commission will be meeting with the public to get public input. That's where legislators at that meeting can come and comment. So this committee will prioritize three of those plans and then the Capitol Grounds Planning Commission will choose one or tell us to go back to the drawing board. And really, the meeting on the 29th of September is so that they don't tell us to go back to the drawing board. If we need to do that, we want to do it earlier than later. There's a fundraising effort that's going on. It is, we have two co-chairpersons, Representative Pamela Anderson and former Insurance Commissioner Jim Pullman. This is the bipartisan group that's leading that. They're putting together a task force, and as the legislation reads, we cannot do any construction until they've raised $500,000 of the $1 million, and it's placed in the Capitol Building Trust Fund. So what we've committed now is only up to $50,000 to get us through the Phase 1 schematic design and estimating phase of the project. So their goal is to have the $500,000 raised by the end of the calendar year. So with that, that was kind of my summary of what's progressed thus far.
Any other comments, Logan?
All right.
Very good.
Thank you.
It's going to be a great thing when it's all done.
Yes, it is, sir.
We got a little dust when we did it, but you know, it was it's the right thing to do. Anybody that's been around construction knows that flat roof house over there is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to go. And we did the right thing there.
Yes, sir.
Any other comments? Projects are all online and
everything's under budget thus far and all
the
time.
Do you have extra money for the Bren Hills room for us, or?
No, I, that, no. But I do, but.
You got the fastest snow you've ever come.
I might, Chairman, I might have to come, we might need to borrow some of your carryover money, I think. That parking lot.
I want you to know we might share the best, though.
No, exactly. Yep. All right, thank you, sir.
Next item. Reviewing the guidelines for use of the legislative chambers and displays in Memorial Hall and guidelines for the committee rooms of the Capitol. Mr. Bjornson, you have information on that? I believe we have a handout.
Yes, you do, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, there are two handouts, one memo for use of the chambers and displays in Memorial Hall. The second is committee rooms. The Memorial Hall and chambers memo is just been updated a little bit to reflect a change that came up at the end of the last interim. As you recall, the donation of a grand piano was brought forward, and it was kind of reviewed by us and determined that within the definition of this policy, the grand piano would be a permanent display. So if you look on the second column, number 3, this about halfway down, the placement of a grand piano in Memorial Hall is considered a permanent display, and the placement of which is subject to review by the Legislative Procedure and Arrangements Committee. Now, it was approved, I believe, at the meeting last September to accept the donation of the piano and address the display, but we just updated the policy to accommodate that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Heckman.
Did we ever get a plaque to put on that piano, a brass plate saying who donated it? Because I think that's, you know, we talked about it before, and I think that's appropriate to have something on there. But I don't know that it ever got done.
Mr. Bjornson, you'll follow up on that?
Mr. Chairman, we will.
That should be done. I agree with you. If there's going to be something permanently displayed, it should be where it came from, who the benefactor was.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, if there are no questions about the use of the chambers, the bottom line is first priority is for the Legislative Assembly. If anybody else is going to use it, they need approval from you, and you're going to have three requests very shortly. The other memo, the use of committee rooms, again, first priority is for the Legislative Assembly. During the session, that it's governed by rule, the Secretary of the Senate and the Chief Clerk make those arrangements during the interim. Prior approval is supposed to be requested from this committee, and if that's not possible, at least through the Director of our office, and then keep you apprised of that. The other change, or the only change in this one, is number 4. As Mr. Steckler mentioned, we always had reference to the
the Legislative Press Studio, and it seemed that that wasn't maybe an appropriate title, so we redesignated in this memo as the Legislative Media Room on the ground floor, just to, we thought it might have been a more appropriate description of the room. And then, Mr. Chairman...
Do you need approval for those changes?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would like to see approval of those changes so we can finalize these memorandums, and then they will be part of the record that you will present in your final report.
Any questions on the memorandums and the changes? If not, I'd look for a motion to approve.
So move.
A motion by Representative Igasaw, a second by Representative Mock. Any further discussion? Now we'll take the roll.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Igasaw.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Aye.
Eberle.
Aye.
Heckman.
Aye.
Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Motion carried.
I think we have three requests, do we not, Mr. Bjornson?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, you have three requests for use of the chambers or committee rooms or both. The first request is the request, I got to get my guy here, from the North Dakota High School Activities Association. You've approved this request in the past. You approved, the most recent one was actually for November of this year. This request now is for November 3rd and 4th, 2016, for use of the House and Senate chambers and committee rooms for the North Dakota High School Activities Association State Student Congress. The second request, Mr. Chairman, is from Secretary of State Jaeger for use of the chambers on the House chamber on Wednesday, February 17th, 2016, for the statewide election conference. You approved a similar request in September 2013 for the 2014. It's a every other year conference put on by the Secretary of State. And the third request is a new request, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Mr. Brooks Martin from the Bismarck Fire Department is here. He can give you a little bit of background on what the request would entail, but it's basically for use of the chambers for bioterrorism training exercise in conjunction with the North Dakota National Guard and an Army, I believe it's the Army North group that deals with training for bioterrorism events.
If there's not an objection, we'll take all these three in one, but we'll let Mr. Martin explain a little bit, if you would. As long as he's not blowing up the chambers, I guess we... okay.
Thank you, Chairman and committee members. Basically, what we're looking to do is, every 18 months, the North Dakota Civil Support Team, the 81st Civil Support Team, is tested to make sure that they meet the qualifications set forth to be part of the civil support teams across the country. In December, they will be doing their annual test, or their 18-month testing again. Army North, as Mr. Bjornson talked about, will be coming in and providing that test. They've worked with us in the years past. We basically look for facilities across the basically mostly Bismarck that we can come in and do this testing. So what we'll basically be doing is setting up a bioterrorism event in one of the chambers, and then they'll be coming in conjunction with our department and local departments to basically come in and mitigate that situation. So we'll actually set up like a things we've done in the past is they've come in and done like a backpack dispersal device and something like that, and then they'll basically be able to come in, mitigate that situation, and be able to neutralize it and do that. So this just gives us a unique opportunity to be able to kind of do something that we all hope never happens in real life, but gives us an opportunity to put that forward out there. So that's what our request is to be able to use the chambers to put that exercise into play. It'll be a fairly significant event. We'll take the West parking lot and fill it up with apparatus and their footprint of stuff that they bring into that kind of thing. So
I think it's a good idea. This obviously would be a possible target if there was a problem.
Unfortunately, I think you're correct.
The government always become an opportunity to be one of the targets, so I think it's a good idea to use it. Any questions, discussion?
Mr., excuse me, I didn't put on here, it's December 1, I believe.
December 1, correct.
December 1 of...
2015.
Yes.
Oh, this year yet?
Yes.
So in other words, you'd like to know so you can plan.
That's right.
I get it now.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we adopt all three of these requests.
We have a motion and a second to approve the requests, all three of them. Any further discussion? Not, we'll take the roll.
Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
Vigasa?
Yes.
Senators Wardner?
Aye.
Herbley?
Aye.
Heckman?
Aye.
Klein?
Aye.
And Schneider?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Mr. Jaeger?
We got you covered again. Well, I was missing you guys, so I thought I'd come down.
Okay. The last item's on the agenda, discussion of legislative session arrangements. This one will require a motion, but it's the 2017 internship program. Mr. Bjornson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, during the past, this committee has approved participation by our office and the University of North Dakota Law School for 10 interns that work with each of the standing committees. Our office in the past has also, on occasion, had either a fiscal intern or other interns. We have budgeted for 12 interns, 10 of whom would be assigned to standing committees. And their main function is drafting amendments. They really help our office immensely because we don't have the staff to sit in each of the standing committee meetings. So they take on a very significant responsibility with respect to drafting of amendments that are adopted by the committee and helping process those amendments for us. But we've budgeted for 10 for each of the standing committees. We've also included in the budget two additional ones in the event that the fiscal staff were to look for an intern and possibly one other within the office as well. The legal interns from the law school receive credit from the law school. They also participate in additional coursework while they're here, so they get a full semester's worth of work. They, in the past, have received a stipend. They can't be paid for the work. It would affect the accreditation of the law school if they were actually paid for this, but they receive a stipend to cover their expenses. And so along with their credit, they received a stipend. Last session, the stipend was $3,250. We've included in our budget the approximate 6% increase to go in line with what was given to state employees for the biennium. That would bring the proposal to about $3,500 for the next session if you were to approve that amount. The final stipend amount, of course, also would be dependent upon the law school giving approval to that amount. I have inquired to see if that is a reasonable amount that would be acceptable to the American Bar Association with respect to accreditation, and they were still checking on that as the last time we spoke. So, Mr. Chairman, we would request that you would give consideration to authorizing the intern program for 10 interns in the law school and an additional two possibly for fiscal staff or other office uses.
I have one issue that I think we should expand, and that would be the fiscal side. I think we should have more than two fiscal side because of the growth of our budget and the massive numbers we deal with and the load that we put on all these people up there. There's accountants that we train in all of our colleges. I think this is the best training ground in the world for them to be involved in the legislative process and working with that. So I would prefer to see at least four people up there on the fiscal side as well as the 10 the legal staff as well. I've always thought that we should pursue the fiscal end harder as well. But that's my feeling on that. Mr. Bjornson, any thoughts?
Mr. Chairman, I really couldn't comment on that. I think if Mr. Knutson were here, he would probably be able to address that and whether that would be something that they could handle as well, as far as...
We have hired some of those, I believe, that we have had, and the fiscal people that we have brought in, and they've been very difficult positions to fill with the economy in North Dakota on the fiscal side of our staff. So I would like to see that number bumped up, and if we don't get them, we don't get them, but I think it'd be a tremendous asset, not only for the future of your staff upstairs, but also for the training that they get here on some pretty significant accounting issues.
Well, Mr. Chairman, currently it's two we do.
Two, yep.
And we would be adding two more.
Yep.
Yeah. It is a way to recruit staff, so I would agree. I think it's, it would be a good move to add a couple of fiscal people up in the legislative council.
Well, Mr. Chairman, where does that pool come from? Are they, you know, your interns are, we're talking...
UND.
UND and deals, so are we just looking for like masters and accountants and that sort of stuff for fiscal staff? Are they going to be college students, or are they going to be anybody can apply with fiscal ability?
Mr. Chairman, I could try and answer that. Last two sessions we recruited, we were looking for seniors in either business, I think, or accounting. We had Adam from Minot State that, you know, was an intern, basically became a full-time staff person even during that first session. Quite a success story, and he's still working on the staff. But we'd look for somebody with, you know, business and accounting background, hopefully in their last semester or last year of college.
And we have various campuses that are teaching. We only have basically one spot for attorneys, but we have multiple ones of our campuses that are doing the accounting and business side. So I think that's a good thing to expand those numbers. And Adam, if anybody that's worked with him will tell you that that was a great opportunity to work him into the system, and now he's a full-time employee. He's very valuable up there. So I'd like to see if there's agreement, get a motion to have that number be 14 instead of 12. So move. Is there a second? Second. Any further discussion? We'll take a vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Mock.
Aye.
Onstead.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Aye.
Herbley.
Aye.
Heckman.
Aye.
Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Motion carried.
And session calendar deadlines. You've got that, whatever the color sheet this is.
I think they call it buff, Mr. Chairman, but I'm not an expert in paper.
Me either. It's a colored one.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, that's just distributed for your information, and at the chairman's request, so that everybody's aware. You know, organizational session will be December 5th through the 7th, 2016, Monday through Wednesday. The next big date to note is January 3rd, first day of session, so a fairly early start. Following the same schedule with holidays and crossover, the 80th day would be April 26th, 2017.
Was there not, Senator Wardner can probably answer this, isn't that a change on the 10th day that no bills of appropriation can be introduced after that date in the 7th?
Yes, it is.
I think that was a change that was made it more functional over there, because you were getting them late than your last deadline, right?
That's right.
The any problems from the last session? Any things in terms of bills out of committees that we brought to our attention when you look at this schedule? I remember a few sessions ago we couldn't figure out why things seemed so squeezed in the first half. And then we realized that we were working off the old 60-day legislative session schedule, and they'd never changed the date. So we moved those back, and they became a little bit more reasonable as far as getting bills out of committees and getting done, because we had more time after crossover than before crossover. to get things done, and it was really weird. We'd never switched from a 60-day to an 80-day session years ago. So is there anything on there that comes to your attention? We'll have to deal with that at some point in time. I'm not aware of anything that was brought up, but Senator Klein?
Well, Mr. Chairman, there was some discussion about the resolutions as they, you know, after all the bills were heard and we were, it was after crossover, there was still a week or so of resolution introduction, and we wound up with just a pile of resolutions that had to be addressed, and there was talk that couldn't we get the resolutions done by before crossover. So I'm just throwing that out because I do recall that being one of the concerns.
Mr. Bjornson, Mr. Smith, any comments?
Mr. Chairman, no. It's something, easy amendment to the rules. It's just a matter of what you prefer.
Mr. Chairman, I think what it was happening is that as bills were defeated, then a lot of people took a look at those defeated bills and then turned them into resolutions, and that's why there was a, so that would be the only thing, but we have ways of amending and stuff like that, so I think we're okay if we got them, put the deadline in at crossover.
Any other discussion on the schedule? If not, we do not need a motion for that, do we?
Mr. Chairman, no, we can prepare a proposed amendment for you if you'd like to view it or see it at the next meeting.
You can discuss that with the bigger problem, I think, on the Senate side than it was on our side. I don't remember it being an issue over there, but all I know is resolutions always come late. So if you have some recommendations, Senator Klein, you can bring those to council and we'll deal with them at the next meeting.
I think the majority leader and I will have that discussion because I think we did a couple of times, but we can review exactly what how that came about. But, you know, with the 42nd day versus the 39th day, you know, those 3 days seem to have there was a lot of buildup after, right after crossover with a lot of resolutions that the committees found that they were going to have to somewhere along the line schedule because they weren't even introduced yet, and it was after crossover.
We have more trouble moving the constitutional amendments out than anything and getting to view on time. I mean, that was, we got to just bring that up on our side, and we're going to force those to be out on time. I mean, that was just more of ours letting those go through too late, so from the constitutional side, we've just got to clean that up.
And that, Mr. Chairman, that does have a later date for reporting out as well.
Well, when you have them in your possession or sitting on them, it's time to move. Yeah. We'll make sure we deal with that issue when they're out there.
And the constitutional amendments have a later introduction date. So,
what is the dates of the council reports that everybody can write on the top of their sheet there? Is that what, that's really the first kickoff event?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it's the week after the election. It's Wednesday and Thursday, November 16 and 17, probably a day and a half, full day on the 16th and 16th, and a half day on the 17th.
Okay, just so you put that on, that's one of the other dates that you missed on there. All right, we have...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm okay with the date and the resolution part, but, you know, circumstances come around. If it's going to be after that, would that go to Delayed Bills Committee, kind of final approval before we do that? Could that be part of that discussion? I'm not sure. You know, all of a sudden there's something that comes up, whatever, and it's past that deadline. Is that that resolution, could that still go to like the Delayed Bills and get set in?
I think we can take those there.
Yeah.
I think we can. And there are things that come up along the way. The last item on the agenda, consideration of participation in phase one of the 2020 census redistricting data program. Mr. Bjornson, you've been involved in that as redistricting thing as long as I can remember. Why don't you give us a little update what that is?
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I have been involved in that longer than I care to remember, I think, three times previously. And it's hard to imagine that the 2020 census is upon us, but phase one of the of what they call the Census Redistricting Data Project begins this next year. And what phase one is essentially Census Bureau asking the states, what are your legislative district boundaries? And do you have boundaries that you'd like to identify as was their smallest, their block boundaries? And what we'd request is your approval of us to participate in this project, because what it will allow us to do is we'll provide Census Bureau the maps of our districts, but in I think two cases, one in maybe three cases, one in South Bismarck, one in, I believe, north of here, maybe McLean County, we actually split census blocks to create a line, a straight line. In South Bismarck, we took a straight line from a street that didn't extend to the river and extended that down to the river. So there was no population there, but we actually had a line that didn't match the Census Bureau line. So if we participate in this project, they will create a line, a block line there for us, so that if you use that same boundary again, we won't have to create something that doesn't exist in their maps. So it's a relatively minor project, but it's helpful. It also, if there are suggestions for other blocks from political subdivisions, if they want to create new lines, that's part of the project. So it is helpful in getting us geared up for the census and getting appropriate boundary lines to follow when you create your districts. And it's just one of, I believe, four phases that we'll go through. We'll also probably come back in about 2 years and ask for participation in the phase that allows us to give the Census Bureau the lines for our current precincts. And that's a much bigger project, hoping that it won't be, that we'll have a better handle on it. We did it for the first time last decade, and it was a very large project, but I think we have a better handle on what it is, and that'll be much better. So we're kicking off census redistricting discussion, and we'd request your approval of our participation in phase one.
This just continues on to the full-fledged census in the end, correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. As I indicate, they go through three or four stages, the final stage actually being conducting the census and then getting those results to us in 2021, probably March, so that summer. Those of us, if there's any of us are still around, can go through that all one more time, and I think many of you have been through that painful process. So.
Without any objections, we'll take a motion to approve our participation in that. I think it's a good idea.
Second.
Motion by Senator Klein, second by Senator Snyder. All those in favor? Well, let's take a vote.
All right, Representative Carlson.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Vigasa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Aye.
Herbele.
Aye.
Heckelman.
Aye.
Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any other business that we need to conduct?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Onstead.
Just in consideration for our upcoming meeting, I imagine it might be in December, there's a couple rules that I'd just like to have a discussion at this table. One deals with our conference committees, amendments that get added on a conference committee that are not necessarily directed to the differences of why we're in conference committee. And I think that's rule 311 or so on in joint rules. And the other is a discussion about policy committee versus appropriations responsibilities dealing with policy. It seems like they're getting more involved with direction of policy and appropriations and not necessarily the funding. And part of that I don't think they're allowed to really change the intent of a referred bill that comes to appropriations, and it seems like at times we're not necessarily breaking those rules, but we're kind of bending them. And I would just like to have that discussion on those two.
Bring those specific concerns with you?
I sure will.
With council and bring what you would recommend?
Okay, thank you.
Have that discussion if you do that?
I will, thank you.
December 16th?
Yeah.
December 16th is the next proposed budget section meeting.
December 16th is the budget section meeting? The scheduled, the proposed one, I'm sure you'll bring it up today at the meeting. Again, we would do the same thing, we would meet, I believe, at 8:00 in the morning. If you have any major conflicts, you'll just have to let us know, but for tentative for now, we'll schedule it for the 16th. Senator Snyder's already got his calendar up, so are we okay? All right. Any other business to be conducted?
Mr. Chairman, just have 1 minute to give an update on Midwest CSG meeting that we had in Bismarck.
Yep.
In July. We don't have final numbers yet, but as you recall, there was an appropriation supporting that conference that was made last session. The appropriation was about $350,000. Preliminarily, it looks like we're going to spend about $245,000 of that appropriation. Pretty much the conference was on budget, a little bit more than anticipated due to some last-minute additions. We did have 543 people attend the conference, which was, I think, the second highest in the last 6 years. Contributions from private sector and businesses was about $100,000 more than expected or originally budgeted. That resulted in that savings, and registrations were just about $10,000 more than anticipated. We'll have final numbers, and I'll provide that to the committee probably by email as we get that. But just so you know, there was some savings from the original appropriation, and that was the intent. This committee approved that with the expectation that if contributions came along more than expected, we would reduce the state support for the conference. So I just thought I should report back on that, and I'll follow up with a final report, probably through an email. We should have that in a month or so.
Everybody that I've run into at other meetings or that attended was pretty impressed how the meeting was held here and what the events that they got to go do, and they thought it was a very productive meeting, so I think it was a success for our state. Senator Warner, you've been more involved in CSG than I, and I'm sure you're hearing the same comments. Some of them that went on the oil tour, I mean, they have no understanding of what happens out there. They really get their eyes opened when they go out there to find that out. So any other business? If not, we're adjourned.